This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Does Diddy need a diaper? Sean Combs begging for an emergency bathroom break in court. And tonight, are authorities finally believing a man caught on tape years ago claiming to be Sean Combs' sex slave? We have the tape. Plus, Austin Powers, Michael Jordan, HBO, and a six-pack? What does any of that have to do with Sean Combs' multi-count federal indictment? This as a victim vanishes. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us.
Diddy on trial. Sex trafficking, racketeering, and the threat of life behind bars. Jury selection wraps this week in one of the biggest celebrity cases of the decade.
Sean Combs demanding an emergency bathroom break in court to the judge. Listen.
Sean Diddy Combs' sex trafficking trial kicks off with jury selection. Combs listens intently as potential jurors are questioned after filling out their written questionnaire. The mogul nods and shakes his head as jurors talk about their experiences with drug addiction, sexual assault, and physical violence. After returning from a requested bathroom break, Combs apologizes to Judge Subramanian. I'm sorry, Your Honor. I'm a little nervous today.
Straight out to veteran trial lawyer Eric Faddis joining us from Varner Faddis Elite Legal, former felony prosecutor. Eric, thank you for being with us. Do you think Diddy's rear end just clenched a little bit when he had to ask for that emergency bathroom break? Was it all just too much for him when he finally came in a courtroom having to answer up to all the claims made against him? I've never had a defendant actually leave mid-jury selection for an emergency bathroom break.
Well, I mean, when I get really nervous, sometimes I have to go too. It's a common thing in the courtroom. They're going to be there for hours upon hours, and it is a tense situation. You know, sometimes it's the calling of nature. Sometimes it's to get a break, to get a breather from what's going on. It's hard to say exactly why Diddy had to do that, but not uncommon under these circumstances. He is facing, you know, his future is on the line here.
Okay, and so, you know what? I'm sure you're not going to tell me the truth. Let's go out to Robert Crispin joining me. Private Eye with Crispin Special Investigations, but former federal task force for the U.S. Department of Justice, DEA, Miami Field Division. It goes on and on. Former homicide investigator. Crispin, come on. He took one look at that jury panel and said, I got to go, and I got to go right now.
Yeah, Nancy, the rubber has hit the road. And Diddy is starting to learn that his fate is about to be tied up in those jurors. It's a completely different atmosphere inside a federal courtroom. It's not your jail cell. It's not the laxed atmosphere sitting and laughing and talking about your case with your lawyers. It's not reading your case in the newspaper. It's the real deal. And it's no BS. It's going down.
This judge is very no-nonsense. Joining me outside the courthouse, investigative reporter Lauren Collin, co-host Primetime Crime on YouTube. Lauren, thank you for being with us. Tell me about where we are in jury selection, how it's playing out in the courtroom. Tell me about the jury panel. Let's start with that.
Yes, Nancy. Well, normally, as you know, jury selection can be kind of boring, but not for Sean Combs. It's turning out to be very colorful. Now, on May 7th, they were able to get their 45 pool of jurors, and they will have their strikes on Friday, May 9th, where the defense will get 10 strikes and the prosecution will get their 6 strikes. And then they'll narrow their jurors down to 12 and 6 alternates. Now, as far as jurors go, Nancy, it's been so intriguing. We have in so far a graphic designer, a former attorney who interned at the Brooklyn DA's office in the domestic violence unit. We also have a UN employee who actually works with counterterrorism, and somehow they made it through. And it actually seemed like these people want to be here in a way, the way they're downplaying certain things. Now, as far as certain potential jurors who are out, we have an HBO employee who didn't work directly on the fall of Diddy, but the defense wasn't taking any chances. We have someone who said wealthy people can get away with more. They can buy their way out of the law. And we also have a woman who claimed that she fainted when she heard the term BJ.
When she heard the term BJ, She fainted? Well, okay, yeah, she's got to go. Not only that, there was one guy doom scrolling who was just like looking through his phone, and at least one of those scrolling adventures he took popped up a Diddy article. He's out. We had one guy that said he couldn't go a full day without smoking weed. He's gone. Yep. We had one person that was so tired and exhausted, stating he stayed up all night binging on Star Wars. He's gone. You know, you don't want anybody falling asleep. Why don't you want somebody falling asleep? Because that is grounds for a mistrial. If one juror is not paying attention and misses testimony, it's over. And correction, I have never found voir dire jury selection to be boring, ever. In fact, that's always been one of my favorite parts of the trial. So what more do we know about jury selection? Listen.
One man is dismissed because he attended Sean Combs High School, albeit 30 years later. Another is a producer for HBO, who did not work on their Diddy documentary, but admits to several water cooler talks with coworkers who did. A marketing director at publisher Simon & Schuster is also dismissed due to her work on singer Al B. Schur's upcoming memoir. A fourth issue that brings laughs for many in the courtroom is a potential juror's employment at the MDC.
That HBO employee may not have worked directly on the HBO documentary, The Fall of Diddy, but I imagine they know what was in the outtakes, what was left on the editing floor, all the background. The HBO employee admits to water cooler discussions of the documentary and of Diddy. Speaking of the HBO documentary that has the defense shaking in its boots, listen.
His knots on her head. It was horrific.
He says, sometimes you just gotta let these hoes know who the boss is.
I see them both holding guns.
I'm fighting for my life.
He said, I'm Puff Daddy. I'll eat your face off.
I always believed that I was the only victim.
Wow. No wonder the defense doesn't want that HBO employee. That's from our friends over at Investigation Discovery. Hey, straight out to Lynn Shaw joining me, founder director Lynn's Warriors, committed to ending human trafficking and sexploitation of women and girls. Did you hear this? Okay, quote from Sean Combs. He says, sometimes you just got to let these hoes know who the boss is.
Yeah, well, you know what? Sometimes with Dirty Diddy, I wish, Nancy, I could get in that courtroom and just stare him down. I wish we could fill the courtroom with all of his alleged victims and women and also men here in New York. My fellow New Yorkers, I have full confidence in them to stare him down. Remember, numbers, power. We have to stare him down. This is kind of the rallying cry I'm hearing here on the streets in New York with people I know in the entertainment, not only music business, overall entertainment business, including Broadway and television. Everybody's waiting on this one. He's talking like this. He's making apologies about Cassie. Dirty Diddy is going down. Nobody's going to fall for his act anymore.
Sometimes you just got to let these hoes know who the boss is. Well, she was certainly on the other foot now in that courtroom. And there's more. No wonder they want that HBO employee off the jury.
I am absolutely nervous sharing what I've seen.
I can no longer just remain silent.
This is where I'm supposed to be.
Much of what we're hearing is about the Cassie Ventura tape, and there's a lot of speculation as to if and how that's going to come into evidence. That was from our friends at Investigation Discovery. Right now, jury selection going down, and the jury will be complete at any minute. We believe the evidence will begin pouring from the witness stand. Now, I don't think it's going to be that easy because it never is. Straight out to Sydney Sumner joining us, CrimeOnline.com, Crime Stories investigative reporter. Sydney, thank you for being with us. There have been many people already thrown off the jury. Now, I'm not talking about the Pettit jury, a derivation of petite or small. The Pettit jury is the jury of 12 plus alternates. And P.S., I don't think six alternates are enough in high-profile cases and really any case. I usually get between four, six to eight alternates. I mean, look what happened to Scott Peterson, for Pete's sake. I think they ended up using nearly every alternate they had. That said, we're trying to get a Pettit jury out of a big panel. Interesting, and this was true when I prosecuted in inner city Atlanta, Sydney Sumner, the defense has more strikes than the state. The defense has 10 strikes, which is crucial when you're narrowing down a panel of 45 to 60 people to just 12. The defense has 10 strikes, 10 choices, and they don't have to explain it, why they throw somebody off the jury. The state has about half that many at 6 strikes, Sydney Sumner.
That's correct in this case, Nancy, as well. The feds will only get to strike 6 while the defense gets 10. That still leaves us with 29 potential jurors out of those 45, removing those 16. So from there, it'll be interesting to see who is removed after that. But we know that a lot of these jurors are having problems with the Cassie video. Everybody has seen it and everybody has formed an opinion on it. This jury selection is very interesting because it's unlikely that anyone in that courtroom doesn't at least have an idea of who Diddy is, whether or not they're familiar with his charges. So this has become a huge hurdle for everyone in the courtroom to jump over.
You know, you're so right. The Cassie video, Cassie Ventura, who was testifying under her own name, there are other alleged victims testifying under pseudonyms like Jane Doe. And we think tonight that one of those victims has disappeared. The state stating in court that they have not been able to reach the victim's lawyer. Now, it's one thing not to be able to find the witness, but you can't find the lawyer. The lawyer has gone DEFCON 4 as well. That's not good for the state. But I want to go forward with jury selection. Now, this as an alleged sex slave emerges. And remember, the state and the defense can amend or add to their witness list if there are newly discovered witnesses. Will Jonathan Odie be a corroborating witness? Listen.
I had sex with Cassie and Sean. Basically, he would masturbate and tell me what to do with Cassie. I had like 15 encounters, and I heard lots of business. Because what they would do is Sean talks a lot on the phone and on the TV with speakers and stuff, and I was like a sex slave.
Okay, yeah, gross. That is Jonathan Odie, Diddy's sex slave, and this video was years ago when he was arrested on some other count. There he is. And again, who do you think is going to be a witness? Nuns and priests and virgins? No. Somebody like Jonathan Odie. Who else is hanging around? Sean Combs. Now, I want to play what you just heard one more time. Listen.
I had sex with Cassie and Sean. Basically, he would masturbate and tell me what to do with Cassie. I had like 15 encounters, and I heard lots of business. Because what they would do is Sean talks a lot on the phone and on the TV with people and stuff, and I was like a sex slave.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Renowned psychoanalyst Dr. Bethany Marshall joining us out of L.A., author of Deal Breakers. You can see her now on Peacock at drbethanymarshall.com. Dr. Bethany, let's break this down. When you were taking English, did the teacher ever separate the sentence on the blackboard and, you know, diagram the sentence? Here's the verb. Here is the adverb. Here is the adjective. Here's the subject, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I had sex with Cassie and Sean. Basically, he, Sean, would masturbate and tell me what to do with Cassie. No wonder she's running down the hall trying to get away. I had like 15 encounters. I heard a lot of business because Sean would talk on the phone and on the TV with speakers while I was being, quote, like a sex slave. Help me out, Dr. Bethany.
You know, it reminds me of a clinical case of a colleague where there was this sociopath sex offender who would put his wife in the bathroom, defecate on her, tell her to stay lying on the floor while he went out and dated other women. And that clinical case is important because it takes us inside the mind of an alleged offender. And in this case, P. Diddy is doing business, puffing himself up, putting himself in a position of power while he debases Cassie. Those are very, very common psychodynamics in a case like this. And you know, Nancy, that explosive need to go to the bathroom, that tells me that he went into fight or flight, meaning he had a sudden need to evacuate his bowels. That means he was scared. I wondered, is this the first time in his life P. Diddy is actually scared? We juxtapose that to having this sex slave. You know, these defendants tend to, they thrive when they're in positions of power. They fall apart when they have to answer for their offenses. Do you remember Michael Jackson, where he got the spider bite and he came to court with his slippers and his pajamas? He really fell apart under pressure.
I had settlement with Sean, okay? And he belongs to that agenda. That's why he's so famous. They land all the contracts. It's his attorneys. My settlement put me in a box. Basically, I couldn't talk because I was always sued. So I let it be, but they've been following me and they've had Mark Garrick has had the FBI on me, has had other agencies looking at me and spying on me, okay, because they want to set me up as an extortionist, like if I was extorting Sean for money.
Now, at the time when Odie was saying all of this back in 2018 on tape, everyone discounted it. Sean Combs, sex slave, making Odie participate in forced sex acts with Cassie Ventura. Somehow Martin Garagos gets in the mix. You hear Odie stating very plainly that he had a, quote, settlement with Sean Combs. That if he talked about what happened with Cassie and Combs, he would be sued. It's called an NDA, non-disclosure agreement. And that Mark Garagos was on to him. Now, suddenly, it's all fitting together. Sydney Sumner, explain why this suddenly may corroborate what the current state's witnesses are saying.
So, Nancy, we've known about Jonathan Odie's claims since the beginning of this case, since all of this information about Diddy's sexual deviance and raping behavior came to the public eye with Cassie's lawsuit. But yes, this happened back in 2018, and this police interrogation is full of odd conspiracy theories. The Illuminati gets brought up several times, so it didn't really feel like Odie's claims were very credible. But now we have a photo of that NDA that he claims that he signed. So we now have proof that that document that he references in that interrogation does in fact exist. So it seems like Odie had some kind of secret about Combs that he thought was so important that he paid this former porn star $5 million for his silence.
You know, Sydney Sumner, every time I ask you a question, it's like opening up one of those mystery boxes or a grab bag. I get so much more than I expected. Did you just say Odie, the guy we were just watching in the hospital gown talking about being a sex slave, got a $5 million settlement from, from Combs, and as a matter of fact, put down $800,000 on a home?
Yes, so that information is coming from Odie's ex-wife. So she claims that he met Combs at a party at his Miami Star Island home, and they struck some sort of relationship, which actually strained their marriage and led to their divorce. Now, immediately after that divorce, Odie, who had claimed that his net worth was in the negatives at the time of their divorce, suddenly purchases a ton of property, $800,000 worth, and it wasn't mortgaged. It was all in cash. So she has no idea where he came up with that money and believes maybe he's telling the truth. Maybe he did get $5 million from Sean Combs.
And of course, Mark Garagos is an incredible lawyer, but as usual, he's into it up to here. He's up to his, let me just say, ears in alligators, because you see, Odie is talking about Garagos way back when in 2018, and now Garagos is in the crosshairs of the judge. Listen.
Prosecutors point to one of Garagos's comments in particular, calling their team a six-pack of white women. Judge Subramanian was shocked by the quip, calling it outrageous. Garagos's daughter, Tenny, pushed back, saying her father merely made an observation, considering her client feels targeted for his race. The judge said the comments would not be tolerated in any court from any lawyer all across the nation.
Subramanian is not putting up with that technical legal term, BS. Straight out to Lauren Collins joining us at the courthouse. What did Garagos do now?
Well, Nancy, Garagos on his podcast stated that the prosecution was a six-pack of white women. Now, that's definitely a prejudicial statement. The prosecution submitted this letter to the judge, as you said, and Garagos is technically not an advisor to the defense. He does represent Diddy's mother, from what I understand, but he knows better than this. And as you said, he's an amazing lawyer, so he needs to step back a bit.
Okay, another issue, though, right there, Eric Faddis, is Garagos is claiming that he's not on the legal team officially. Okay, see, the judge, Subramanian, doesn't like that, and I'll tell you why. Neither does the state. It's not against Garagos. It's just that if you're not on, officially on the defense team, you are not subject to the orders and the directives of the judge because you're not on the defense team. You can say and do anything you want to, even with Harvey Levin on TMZ, on that podcast I was just showing you, the Two Angry Men podcast. He can say whatever he wants to because he's not on the team. That's why, you know what? It's like being a little pregnant. That's not possible, right? So is he on the team or is he not on the team? That's the issue with Garagos right now.
Yeah, Nancy, and you know, on top of that, Garagos has a First Amendment right. He can say what he wants, and this isn't the first time an alleged racial bias has been brought up by the defense. They talked about Diddy being prosecuted under what's called the Mann Act, which infamously was used to prosecute black boxer Jack Johnson in 1913 for having romantic relations with a white woman.
And Faddis, you're digging really deep. If you're going back to a case in 1913, can I just drag you up to 2025 and address what's happening in court right now?
I hear you. And my understanding is that Garagos has a relative or a daughter who might be associated with the case who's a lawyer. But yeah, so Garagos is kind of like, is he or isn't he in terms of being involved in the case? And if he's not technically an attorney of record, then who cares what the judge says? He can kind of say what he wants.
Sean Diddy Combs' defense lawyers insist he isn't a rapist, but a swinger. Attorney Mark Agnifilo tells the court Combs simply engaged in a swinger lifestyle, seeing nothing wrong with his behavior.
As potential jurors are questioned about their ability to maintain impartiality, an obstacle quickly rears its head, the video of Combs attacking Cassie. Numerous potential jurors have seen the video and formed opinions on it. Of those who have watched it, only a few were able to say they did not think it would affect their impartiality.
While some who have seen the Cassie video are allowed to stay, several jurors are dismissed for the opinions they formed from it. One juror called the video damning evidence, while another said it would be hard to get new evidence against the video. Another juror was dismissed for his belief the rap mogul could, quote, buy his way out of jail.
Yeah, a lot of people. I mean, if you watch CNN or any major news outlet which has followed up with CNN's video, you've seen the Cassie video. What's so disturbing? Let's take a look. Here comes Cassie, and this is from our friends at CNN, trying to get away, according to reports, from a freak-off. Uh-oh, not so fast, Cassie. Now, according to Combs, this is all part of his, quote, voluntary, swinger lifestyle. I was stomping off with all Cassie's stuff. Oh, she will have to go back to the freak-off. Oh, it's not over yet. Here he's having a little fit. Oh, there goes a $2,000 vase. This is the video we're talking about. Joining us at the courthouse, Lauren Conlon, some jurors are having a hard time with the Cassie video, and some of them have already been released from the jury pool. Explain.
Yes, some jurors who saw the video and said things like, well, he's guilty of domestic abuse in that video, they were immediately dismissed. But Nancy, I want to point out that the defense also had an expert testify a few weeks back during the pretrial hearings that video was actually sped up.
Don't care, because it can be unsped up for the jury. But thank you for pointing out that argument by the defense. If that's all they've got, okay, they're up. you know, the creek without a paddle. But that said, we've heard a lot of conflicting statements to Sidney Sumner, following up on what Lauren Collins said. She's absolutely right, by the way, again. I caught her being right again. Sidney Sumner, there have been reports of states not introducing the Cassie video. I find that hard to believe. I think they're not introducing the CNN version, but that they will introduce the video in full or portions thereof. What about it, Sydney?
Yes, Nancy, we've heard conflicting reports on this. So before, we already knew that the prosecution was not planning to introduce the CNN version of the video. That is correct. They were going to play back a version that was recorded on an iPhone. So maybe, right, maybe this is how CNN obtained the recording in the first place. So you're seeing it play back on a computer screen and somebody is recording that video on an iPhone. So it's very clear that it's not edited in any way, shape, or form. All of the potential jurors, many of them at least, mentioned that they had seen the CNN Cassie video, and prosecutors went, whoa, 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 we're no longer planning to introduce this as evidence at all. So the opinions they formed based on that video shouldn't matter. And of course, the judge kind of looked at them like, I think it still is important. If they've formed an opinion on who Combs is.
Exactly.
From this video.
Well, you know what, Sydney, you're right. It's still up in the air. Will the video come in? Will the video not come in? But even if that video doesn't come in, what about this video?
It's so difficult to reflect on the darkest times in your life. Sometimes you got to do that. I was f***ed up. I mean, I hit rock bottom. But I make no excuses. My behavior on that video is inexcusable. I take full responsibility for my actions in that video. I'm disgusted.
Right, right, right. That's from Diddy's official Instagram. So, Robert Crispin, if he didn't do it, if it was all consensual and Cassie's fine with it, why is he apologizing for it?
Because he knows he's guilty. In his own mind,
ooh,
I think he knows.
Well put, and I like it because it's succinct, or it was succinct, but you kept talking. To Eric Faddis, here's another thing. Even if the state, to avoid an evidentiary problem on appeal, don't make me go into the in-depth explanation of that, if they don't bring it in their case, here's a way to get it in. Because you know, somebody's going to take the stand and say, oh, that was all consensual. Cassie loved being with Combs. Then they'll bring it in to cross-examine a witness or in a state's rebuttal case. There's many ways to get this video in.
Defense could surely open the door to this video coming in, and that would be a huge misstep. Another big misstep is the prosecutor's office making a huge deal about this video in the months leading up to the case. And now if they're not going to show it, they have effectively assassinated Diddy's character and gotten into the minds of these potential jurors.
What? Hey, the state didn't do that to him. He did it to himself. See, Lynn Shaw, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Combs claiming the state has assassinated his character by CNN releasing the video. Okay, A, the CNN did that, not the state. Diddy did that to himself, but yet we're hearing, oh, the state, the powerful, evil state, they did this to Diddy. BS! He's the one on the video, not the prosecutor running down the hall in a towel.
This video of Cassie running away in her bare feet, everybody, do you notice she has no shoes on? If you look at that video, so many women report to me and girls, that's how they escape. They don't put shoes on. They run away barefoot down New York streets, I've heard, highways, barefoot. This is in no way, you know, this Diddy, this dirty Diddy, he flips the story. What, you know what? He's blaming everybody else. We have seen this for months now. He is guilty. And I maintain this video, everybody's heard about it. If you haven't seen it, everybody knows about it. It's very here in New York, all over the place. So you know what? That is his downfall. Kicking a woman repeatedly, dragging her. You know what? He's going down. I guarantee when we come back after all this, you will see he crossed the wrong person. He's beating a woman on a camera. I don't know where the hotel was. I guess they got paid off. Why they didn't report him to the police, but Dirty Diddy is going down.
Jurors are also asked to review a nearly 200-person list of names that may come up in the trial. Judge Subramanian likens the list to an appendix from The Lord of the Rings. The judge asks the attorneys to provide the list when jurors complete their questionnaire as they spend time listening to numerous jurors verbally explain why they recognize famous names like Michael B. Jordan, Kanye West, Kid Cudi, and even Mike Myers.
What does Michael Myers, a.k.a. Austin Powers, have to do with Sean Combs' multi-count federal indictment? I think we figured it out.
You know, Dr. Evil, I used to think you were crazy.
I know.
But now I can see you're nuts.
I thank you.
From the 97 movie Austin Powers, The International Man of Mystery. That's all we can piece together so far. But then you've got Michael B. Jordan, Kanye, oh my stars. To Sydney Sumner, I think we figured out why Kid Cudi may be on the list where the jurors are asked, do you know any of these people? And Kid Cudi, Kanye, Myers, Jordan, and many others are on the list. I think I know about Kid Cudi. Explain, Sid.
So after one of many Cassie and Combs breakups, Cassie started seeing Kid Cudi. And just a few months later, his car mysteriously exploded outside of his house. Cassie attributes that to her ex-boyfriend.
So that tells me he may come in as a witness, maybe, to corroborate claims that this wasn't just forced sex or coerced sex acts at the freak-offs, but that violence became an integral, a critical part of the scenario. And we were hearing Dr. Bethany Marshall describe that. Guys, I'm hearing in my ear, we are now being joined by special guest, Dr. Dwayne Hendricks. Dr. Hendricks, former associate warden at MDC in Brooklyn, where Combs is being held, former senior warden with U.S. Department of Justice, Federal Bureau of Prisons. He is the author of Who Are You? See It, Say It, Seize It, and is president of A New Daylight Foundation. Dr. Hendricks, thank you for being with us. A lot of people do not understand the mechanics, all the hoops you have to get through to even get Sean Combs to the courthouse, even at Fulton County Courthouse or the city jail. Inmates would have to be up sometimes at 3 o'clock in the morning for safety precautions, getting them fed, getting them into their court clothes, out of their jumpers, hustling them sometimes in triple shackle into a van or a bus. Got to lock it all down so the inmates can't attack each other on the bus. I've had one star witness attack by the defendant. The agent sent them over on the same bus with a pen that he had stuck down his pants. Where he got a pen from me, from his defense lawyer, had stuck the pen down his pants and stabbed my witness the morning of trial. I put him on the stand anyway with the stab wound. That said, Dr. Hendricks, explain what an inmate like Combs has to go through and what the state has to go through to even get Combs there.
Yeah, Nancy, the marshals will send over a list on a daily basis. And then the staff will start preparing for the next trial movement for the next day. And after the 5 o'clock count clears in the morning, the officers will get those inmates up, get them down to R&D. They'll give them a box breakfast, like a continental breakfast, down in the holding area. And then they'll be out processing with the rest of the offenders. And one of the critical things, I know you mentioned, you know, one of your witnesses got stabbed. One of the key functions for staff is to make sure that anybody who's caught, you know, their separatees, they make sure that they're not in the same holding cells prior to them leaving the facility. And the marshals do move inmates on the same bus sometimes, or in the same van, inmates that may be or may not be testifying against each other, but they try to keep them separated as much as possible. But we don't have to worry about that in this particular case. So when Diddy gets over to the courthouse, he'll be put in a holding cell until he's ready to go up to the floor where his trial is being held. He'll be put in his court clothes. And then he'll be moved up to the courthouse, to the courtroom where the trial will, where he'll be having his processes done. And then we do everything in reverse. In the evening, they normally bring the inmates back about 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening. And he'll go back through that same booking process, being visually searched and that kind of thing. And also, especially with this being a high profile case, a lot of times he won't go through some of the other intake processes as far as a health screening, but they'll definitely be looking and monitoring his mental health for any suicidal ideation, especially as this trial goes on and some of the testimony comes out. And they'll be monitoring that on a day-to-day basis. But that's typically the process for individuals when they're going from the jail.
Dr. Hendricks, we're talking about the MDC, and you're telling me that the inmates are carefully evaluated for suicidal ideation. One word to you, Epstein. You really think MDC is all on it when it's evaluating the health crises of inmates? Yeah, just hold that thought. So, Dr. Hendricks, are you telling me that MDC is putting Combs in one of those big buses? It's an old school bus, like painted white. It says CI, Correctional Institute, on the side.
No.
Probably. With a lot of other inmates, because I find that really hard to believe.
That's the typical process, but he is in the East Building over at MDC, which houses less inmates than the West Building, as we're seeing in this shot right here. So he's probably put in a van. He may not even have no more than 3 or 4 other inmates heading to court, depending on what the docket is for that particular day. So he's probably not on a big van because he's going over to Manhattan from Brooklyn. And it just depends on how many offenders that have court that particular day. But I would
Dr. Dwayne Hendricks, you've been trying to tell me all along that Combs is not getting any special treatment. But I guarantee you, he's not on the old school bus with all of the other inmates. He's probably getting ridden over in, a limo?
No. If anything, it'll be a police car or some unmarked police or U.S. Marshal vehicle. But it's more than likely a van. And it'll probably have one or two other offenders in there. And they're probably in the same housing unit that he's living in over there in Fort North.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Known jury consultant Lisa Moreno has also joined Combs' ranks. Moreno is best known for helping shape the jury that acquitted Sami Al-Aryan, the Florida college professor accused of conspiring to provide services to the terrorist group, the Palestinian Islamic Jihad. Moreno will spend the next 2 days digging into jurors' backgrounds to determine who the defense will challenge and who they will fight to keep on.
Wow. Okay, high-profile jury consultant brought in on Sean Combs' team as they try to determine who will be a witness, who will be a character witness, who will be kept out. Speaking of celebs in court like Austin Powers, a.k.a. Michael Myers, and others, here's one guy I guarantee you the defense does not want to show up.
I spent, all the money for the commercial on these new teeth. Once again, I had to shoot it on the iPhone. Go to Yeezy.com.
That from the official Yeezy page. Sydney, just briefly, how much did Kanye pay for whatever he's got in place of his teeth?
Nancy, I believe he paid over $800,000 for that new set of teeth.
They are titanium. Okay, Dr. Bethany Marshall, psychoanalyst joining us out of L.A. What do you think the defense is going to do when Kanye shows up in the courtroom? Did you see that dental video of him drooling with about $1 million worth of titanium in his mouth? It came up during jury selection. Kanye's name came up in jury selection, which I'm going to go to Conlon on. But, no way do they want him in the courtroom.
Well, Nancy, first of all, he should have a diamond grill for how much he spent on his teeth. The most somebody has ever spent on their veneers or teeth that's come into my Beverly Hills office is $75,000. So he got ripped off. Secondly, you know, he's so labile and unpredictable. One day he loves Diddy, the next day he hates Diddy. You know, I think it's just, he's just a very precarious person to have in the courtroom.
But his name actually came up in voir dire, which coincidentally is French for speak the truth, another name for jury selection. Lauren Cullen joining us at the courthouse from the beginning. Lauren, what did Diddy have to do with Kanye in jury selection?
Kanye's name was one of the many celebrity names that was brought up during the voir dire. And Kanye and Diddy had this now infamous phone call while Diddy was in MDC back in March, where Diddy said things like, they're out to get us. And then Kanye after alleged that he has been giving Diddy money and he has been giving Diddy's children money. Also, Nancy, I want to point out that Mike Myers and Kanye West actually did this charity telethon back in the early 2000s after Hurricane Katrina. So maybe Mike Myers could speak to the character of Diddy through Kanye. That was a thought I had, just speculating.
Hey, it'll be a cold day in Hades before anybody brings on good character in this case, if they can find such a witness for the defense. Because once they do that, that opens the door for the state to bring on bad character. In other words, all of the other 60-plus similar transactions as demonstrated in civil lawsuits against Sean Combs. Here's a big problem, Sydney Sumner. We understand that victim number three is in the wind, that the state can't find her or her lawyer. Sydney, that's the problem. We predicted this was going to happen. Did Diddy's team get to her and now she's not going to testify?
It's quite possible, Nancy. We know that Combs was using other inmates' jail phone numbers to make calls to potential witnesses. So this would not be behavior that is not reported for him. And we know that that third witness actually intended to use her real name in court. So prosecutors set up a pseudonym for her and she decided, no, I want to use my real name. So now that she's backed out entirely, it's a very huge red flag.
Big red flag. Why now, on the eve of trial, when the evidence is about to pour from the witness stand, does one of the state's witnesses disappear, vanish in the wind? We wait as evidence commences in the courtroom. And now we remember an American hero, Deputy Sheriff Brian Mahaffey, Rockdale Sheriff's, Georgia, shot and killed in the line of duty, survived by wife turned widow Diana, children Trenton and Aniston. American hero, Deputy Sheriff Brian Mahaffey. Nancy Grace signing off. Goodbye, friend.